The book section of the Sunday New York Times often includes an interview with an author, and then follows a statement and a question. You are hosting a dinner party. Which three authors, living or dead, do you invite? Cressida Cole, who wrote How to Train Your Dragon, I was going to say How to Tame, How to Train Your Dragon, wants to sit at a table with these three storytellers, Shakespeare, George Eliot, and Homer. These long-ago authors were important to her because she enjoyed their feelings, their intelligence, their opinions. Now, Jeremiah wrote a book, and I'm wondering if anybody wanted him to come to dinner. Those who read at least the beginning of the story, a portion of which we have today, could be disturbed by what he had to say. He spoke of God's lament over the people. They had forgotten their own origin stories, how God had led them from bondage in Egypt to the Promised Land. He told them that they were like colanders whose holes had leaked out all of the living water that had been poured into them. They had forgotten their own story, which would need to be told to them again and again. Jeremiah's story precedes our meal today. So I'm curious about which three authors you might invite to dinner, which dead ones, which living ones. Maybe you'd like to dine with a poet that could make you smile, like Shel Silverstein in The Light in the Attic. A friend of mine is enjoying Willa Cather's O Pioneers right now, a survival story about our settler ancestors. Last week, a woman in an airport waiting room in Boston was eager to show me her book club choice. Or you might want a story from Garrison Keillor, because Lake Wobegon was a place where you could hold on to simpler times and better days. I would have a hard choice for dinner companion authors. Many of you know that I would love to have dinner with David Brooks, because I enjoy his soul-searching and his commentary, and I was really struck by the difference between resume virtues and eulogy virtues in his book about character. I might want more of Rachel Held Evans, who died very young, or Marjorie Kinnan Rawlings. I'm thinking hard about who inspires me, who gives me food for thought, who tells me a story of hope and resilience that I want to hold on to, and who speaks to me of my own origins of faith stories, of the meaning and purpose of human life, stories that invite me into wonder. Or maybe you are not a reader at all, but you enjoy films, like The Biggest Little Farm, which many of us watch together on Thursday night. Stories writ large on a screen of memory. I had loved that story, and I was glad to share it, and happy to see it again. The Pharisees invited storyteller Jesus to come to dinner. He came to a Sabbath meal. They might have assumed that he would tell a parable or two, or tell a story about his travels in the Galilee, or a story about God. In Luke's gospel, some of the Pharisees had just warned Jesus about threats to him. In light of the Roman occupation, perhaps they thought he would bring a resistance story. But Jesus brought a critique story, just like Jeremiah. Those who were present with him at that meal did not expect to be the plot line in that story. The promise of an easy dinner conversation with Jesus had them reaching for the Pepto-Bismol. Luke begins the evening story with these words. They were watching him. They were watching him. What did they expect to see? And what was he going to show them? Jesus offers a kingdom story about God, about hosts and guests. He seems to be telling them that they are all part of a kingdom story. And this is what he sees while he is watching them. The guests want seats of power and influence. And the host wants quid pro quo, a return invitation from his peers, his equals. But Jesus invites his listeners to imagine that all tables, especially the Sabbath table, belongs to God. God who is host and whose guests include the grateful and those who receive a radical welcome, who are seated with equal status. God's table is a place of transformation, not transaction. God's realm is not built on displays of wealth or prestige or power or political influence, but on love of neighbor, on mirroring the extravagant grace of God. It's almost as if Jesus weighed in on the budget debate here in Jacksonville these last 2 weeks, when the cuts to the Meals on Wheels program occurred side by side with a pitch for perks for the city council. A little too close to today's gospel. Empathy from the citizens of Jacksonville for vulnerable seniors helped restore some of the money for that program. When Jesus comes to dinner, he usually offends somebody. He interrupts the meal with an argument about theology. He welcomes the uninvited guest. He challenges behaviors, changes what the Sabbath looks like, points out who is on the receiving end of God's gaze. He upsets self-satisfaction. Patterns of change always come to the table with Jesus. The heavenly banquet is his template. The Eucharist will become the original meal of diversity, equity, and inclusion. All are welcomed. All are fed. All receive the same. Are you sure you would like to invite Jesus to dinner? Dr. Brian Goldman is a commentator in Canada on CBC Radio. His program is entitled White Coat, Black Art, and the stories, doctor stories here, there, and everywhere, they're really wonderful. One of his interests is in the neuroscience of compassion, the neuroscience of compassion, how empathy is essential if human community is to thrive. He underwent a series of brain scans, and he traveled and had conversations with the kindest people he could find. He wanted to know if, in his role as an emergency room physician, as someone who saw so much pain every day, if encountering the pain of others had made him numb, had diminished his capacity to connect with his patients. He wrote a book, The Power of Kindness. I needed to reread it this week because the world is so full of pain. Minneapolis, Gaza, Boston, just everywhere. And with Jesus and Jeremiah at the dinner table helping us look at what leaky cisterns we are, I needed more hope. So I think I want Brian, I think I want Brian to come to dinner, Brian Goldman. And I might invite Jeremiah because I did read the whole book. And I know it doesn't end up where it started. And of course, I would love to have dinner with Jesus, even if I have to find the Pepto-Bismol. Amen.